Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Rod S. from Imperial Beach.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Rod, and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is May 29th, 2012. I have a sponsor. I have a home group. I'm very delighted to be here. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. A lot of people come up and talk, and they tell their story, and they come in these rooms, and they get it, and they live a nice, prosperous life. They help others, and they begin to give back. Unfortunately, that's not my story. I'm 58 years old. I got sober when I was 51, so I drank alcoholically about 44 years. I started out drinking. I don't remember when it started. I grew up in a home where alcohol was prevalent all the time. There was a keg in the garage. I had fantastic parents. My dad was a heavy drinker. He was not alcoholic. He was the guy everybody wanted to hang out with. He was the guy everybody looked up to. He would never do drugs. All of his friends did. He didn't do drugs. Kept his word. Always was there when someone needed him. You know, just kind of the opposite of what I turned out to be. But anyway, you know, growing up, you got in a car, you drove, you opened your dad a beer, you sucked the foam off so he didn't have to spill it on his jeans. You know, that was your job, right? When we got sick, we gargled with vodka and swallowed it. And, you know, again, I don't know when I started drinking, but I can tell you by the time I was 9 or 10, I was stealing beer from Grandpa on a regular basis. And by the time I was about 11 years old, I was drinking regularly. And one evening, we were up in some hot pots in McCall, Idaho. I grew up in a small town called Pocatello. And we were in these hot pots, and I was with my friend and his older brother, and these college girls came up, and we're sitting there drinking, and they passed a pipe around. And I swore I'd never cross that line. I'd never, ever going to do that, right? And sure enough, that thing came around, and I wasn't going to be some little kid. I had to do it. But that was just the first of many times of me, you know, crossing that line and going too far. I ran away when I was 16 to Seal Beach, got thrown in jail, got shipped back, had to go back and appeal my classes, somehow made it through high school, and off to Arizona I went to go to college. But my first year, that summer, I was 19 years old. I was working before school started, and I met these guys in this rock band, and they were playing in this bar. It was called Scene West out in Scottsdale, Arizona. And the owners of that bar were a couple of guys that used to fly in Vietnam, and their dad was a retired senator, and these guys were bush pilots. And they recruited me and a couple of my friends. And over the next 7 years, I worked with these guys in an empire to the point where, when I was 27 years old, I got indicted, and I had a car lot. I had a used car lot, a boat lot. I was selling mobile homes on land. I had a real estate license, and I had been followed by the DEA for about 2 years hard. And I went to, you know, I got busted. There was no getting out. They had me cold turkey. Went to prison, got out, fought that case, got out. And I did five with half. And when I got out, I got to parole out here because my ex-wife, who had divorced me, of course, brought our son out here. And so the judge let me parole to San Diego. And when I first got out of prison, I went to pick up that kid. And there was another little boy with him. And this little boy's dad was in AA. And he's here tonight. And so I took the kids to a ball game, and I had to drop the other boy off at his dad's. I picked him up from my ex-wife, who was hanging out with this guy's ex-wife. And I got introduced to AA. And at that time, you know, I'd been to prison for 3 years. I'd had four DUIs, and I had a chance at a fresh start. But I was too selfish. I wasn't willing to get honest. And instead of doing the right thing and just listening to the sponsor, you know, doing what we're all doing here, I always found a reason not to do it. I always found a reason to halfway do it. I took dirty cakes. I mean, I was the epitome of somebody that just couldn't get honest. I was to go on and get 7 more DUIs. I had 11 DUI convictions. And if you get 7 DUIs in California, there's a lot of shit that's going to happen to you. You're going to lose a lot of property. You're going to do at least 2 solid prison terms. You're going to go to jail for at least three times for 120 days, and you're probably going to do 52 days, you know, a full year of weekends. I did all that. I had to go through the multiple conviction program, the 18-month program, five times. Now, you would think you would learn all that, but it's not funny. I couldn't stop. And it didn't help because I'd have, you know, I was a binge drinker, so I never drank every day. So I was able to get the job, get the nice house, get everything back. And I went through this crazy cycle. And the whole time I was like the guy, like they say, you know, let me help you get that speck out of your eye when there's a plank sticking out of my eye. And I just would find everything wrong with everybody. I'm not like that guy. I could rationalize anything. I could come right out of prison and go, well, you know, I didn't hurt anybody. I didn't kill anybody. I know I wrecked my car and yada, 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 yada. I had a judge tell me on that last one, he said, you know what, you're a menace to society. You're a menace to yourself. And that one hurt. I had gotten sober. It was one of the last times I got sober. And this was just before Memorial Weekend in 2012. And my mother had come down with cancer. And my sister called me up and she says, Rod, you know, we got to bring her to hospice. She's not going to make it. And so, you know, instead of just, you know, doing the right thing and being a good son, and let me tell you, I had the best parents a person could ever have. I had the most loving mother and father you could ever have. And I went out to the saloon down in Encinitas after drinking a case and did shots and got just shit-faced drunk. Got out of there, did a U-turn right in front of a sheriff, and I just pulled over and I just said, arrest me. And for whatever crazy reason, he let me out without, I've never had a bail, like the last four or five times I got arrested, my bail was never under $100,000. They set me with no bail. I got to OR that night. And that was a miracle from God, because I flew straight home. I spent the last 4 days with my mother, and I gave her eulogy. And I swore to her on her, I got to swear to her, holding her hand on her deathbed, that I would never drink again. And you know what, she didn't hear me, but I said that. And then as soon as I got back to town, they threw me in prison. And I went up to Chino for classification this time. And when I was there, I told them that I used to be a plumber. And they were doing this big reconstruction job up at Calipatria, which is a level 4 prison, which I didn't know that, you know, I should have kept my mouth shut. So they send me out to this Calipat, but this Calipat's level 4, all those people are doing life. They say they don't have a date, they call that. That means you're not getting out, you know, when you don't have a date. And it was just hell, this place. I wish I would have went there first. If I would have went there first, I probably would have never drank again. But anyway, I was at this place, and they called me out. And whenever you had movement there, you're shackled. Even if you were just, like I wasn't even supposed to be there, but I had to be shackled. Anytime you had movement, they shackle you before you even leave your cell. You back up, stick your hands through, they shackle you. And they walked me over, and they walked me across the yard late at night, and everybody was like screaming and stuff, because no one gets out of their cells there. And so if you do, it's usually like, you know, it's not good. You know, either they figure you're whatever it is. It's never good, right? And I'm like, oh shit! And so when I got out, and I walked across, and there was a priest, and I go, oh shit, because I have two twin daughters, and I thought, oh my god, something happened to one of my girls. And so I told this priest, I says, are my kids okay? And he says, yeah, your kids are fine. But what had happened was, right after my mom died, my dad had a massive heart attack, and they couldn't tell me that he died because I was in Chino and hadn't been classified, and you can't go on suicide watch. So they didn't even tell me he was dead and buried 3 weeks when I finally found out. That was my low. That one finally got me. And you know, coming back across that yard, it was just, you know, it was one of those nights where I just looked up to God and said, you know, I can't do this anymore. And, you know, I did have a spiritual awakening of that kind. I honest to God did. And, you know, I never drank again. It took what it took. But I will tell you, God has a sense of humor, because when I got out, I was talking to my sponsor, who was there every time I got out, by the way. 28 years of this shit. I'd be dead. And he goes, you know, what'd you do out there? And I says, well, I broke frickin' concrete in 3-foot stems because I could read the blueprint and know where all the power lines were, and it wouldn't open up the cells if I hit it. And once they figured that out, all I did was run a jackhammer for a year straight. And that's all I did. And he goes, well, you know who poured that concrete, don't you? And I go, no. And he goes, I did. So my sponsor actually poured that concrete that I chipped out for that year, that whole time I was there. So God has a sense of humor. But anyway, I thank you for letting me share. You know, what I want you to get away from this is don't let it, you know, don't hesitate. Get a sponsor. Get honest. It's so easy, and it's so beneficial to all the people that love you if you just stay sober. Thank you.